which he wrote for Sarah Swainson, you know. Sarah's in the studio now.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, and good morning to Ralph. Schroeder,
yes.
Who is an attorney at law, so we're all behaving ourselves.
Yes, please do.
We can't.
It's lovely. Well, we're talking about public speaking this morning, which is the biggest fear I think many people have, is that they're going to have to at some stage stand up in a group of strangers or a crowd of associates and say something. Why? Yes. Why are we so scared to do this?
Well, I think... Well, it ranks. Interesting, I did a bit of research. So it ranks. In the 1980s, they did this survey, and it was America's number one fear, ahead of heights, insects, snakes, financial ruin, and death, right?
Do you believe that, though?
I'm not sure. But then they've done a recent study, and it rates still in the top three. But interestingly, it's a little below corruption and government collapse, loved ones becoming seriously ill, and occasionally not having enough money. But it still sits there as one of these things that people absolutely fear, this fear of standing up. And I think that comes down to that you think you're going to look like an idiot when you open your mouth and speak. So that fear of social judgment.
Okay.
Yeah.
So presumably you're going to tell us how to go about it in a way that removes the fear.
Yeah, so I think there are a lot of tips. But I think what I want in the Build Hard segment is always to just inspire somebody to just go and try. You need to be able to speak well, even if you're not standing in front of an audience. But if you have to go and present something to a client, you still have to be able to speak and convey your message. So I've brought in the studio a friend of mine, Ralph Schroeder, and you're an attorney. On paper, you've got the certificate.
I do.
But you find yourself more and more behind the microphone. You host a podcast called Conveying Stories.
Conveying Stories podcast.
Recently, we did an event on Friday, and Ralph was the MC. So I've brought Ralph in to add a bit of oomph to the section about how do you overcome this about public speaking. So, Ralph, have you ever been scared to stand up in front of the audience?
Yeah, scared and possibly nervous. But I think a big mind shift for me came when I started looking at nerves more in the sense of actually excitement. Before you stand up and speak somewhere, I always just have a think of, hear the butterflies flying and I feel the butterflies flying. I then just have a look at that as excitement rather than anxiety. And then that's a big sort of calming factor for me. I think being scared is always one of those things that will always be there. But I reckon the first 10 seconds are probably the scariest, and after that it all sort of fades away.
Mm. I mean, I've stood up, and I think it's also a progress. You get better at something when you do it repeatedly. Hopefully that's the case. But I came across, if you think, how many times you've been impacted by a speaker, right? And can you think of anybody or even a podcast that's really resonated with you?
Yeah, well, I'm a big Simon Sinek fan. And even, he in one of his podcasts where he was actually being interviewed, I think it was by Trevor Noah, he said something to Trevor saying basically the way that he prepares for a podcast is by almost not preparing at all. He tries to have that podcast session as a dinner date or a lunch meal, essentially, and gets to know the person. And that sort of just brings in so much more authenticity. There's no planning set questions of saying, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to say, this is... Because that also takes away from the listening. So that was a big impact on me. But also when I take a step back, way, way, way back, and it wasn't a speaker that said something to me, but back in Standard 1, I think that's grade 3 now, there was a speech and drama festival at school. It was the first time that I was actually speaking in front of people, and it was only in front of two judges. But that lady, I'll never forget her, Auntie Sue Koch from Wartburg, and she just said to me, like, she's never had someone speak with so much passion and so much, just excitement and
gusto.
Yeah, exactly. and that was really just something that sort of planted a bit of a seed. There might be something there, and I'm by no means a professional public speaker, but that's always, my wife said to me last night, she's like, I've mentioned that story a couple of times, and it just shows that teachers or anyone can actually make such a big impression on kids and anyone's life. So if you have anyone, just always be kind with your words, I suppose, and encouraging rather than say something negative.
But I think that leads to another thing, like be authentic. You have to find your own style. You know, if somebody is, I'm not particularly funny. So if I try to be exceptionally humorous when I'm delivering a speech, it's going to fall flat. Whereas Ralph does a really good joke. So I think you have to find, firstly, the style of how you want to present that's authentic and let your passion come through. If you are passionate about something, let it come through. And then passion, but prep. Prep is very important because I think you need to respect your audience as much as they're respecting you to listen to what you're saying. So being prepared as a speaker is so important, I think. And
just to add to preparation from my side, I always try and be at least half an hour early or so. In German, we've got a saying, it says, Deutsche Pünktlichkeit ist 10 Minuten vor der Zeit, which basically means German punctuality is 10 minutes before the time, so you've got to be there early. And I always try and be there early because when you're there early, you always are able to then iron out any of the sort of, you know, admin issues that there might be. You know, like on that event on Friday, there was a speaker right in front in the middle of the stage. And whenever you walked past it, it just sweet made that sound and interfered. So we quickly moved the speaker. Then all of a sudden, you know, we moved a chair there, which was a bit of a pulpit type of thing.
Yeah.
So I think arriving early just also settles the nerves because you then take away probably 5 or 6 things that could go wrong. That's always a big thing. So any meeting or anything like that, always try and be a bit early just to settle the nerves.
And then I think one of the lessons that I got taught was serve your audience as a speaker, not your ego. Often people stand up and they want to, you know, share their story. But I think the really interesting bit is you go, it's not about you, but how do you add value to your audience? So your job is there to help them win, to help them find something, that nugget that they take away that goes with them from that time spent with you. So it's not just you standing up delivering a keynote or a speech. It's really about what you hope the audience is going to find valuable. I think that's really, really important when you are preparing. And then find your own style. Don't memorize, I think. I think you've got to have keynotes and then really blend your stories in an authentic way.
I'll always have a piece of paper. It's just my security blanket, just in case you do lose your train of thought. So it's nothing wrong with taking a piece of paper, a cue card, and writing highlighting a couple of points on there. I always take a piece of paper. It's just my style, and you know, not that I have to look at it, but at least I then have it just in case.
And then the death of PowerPoint. I think if you're presenting and you have got PowerPoint, use it as a add to what you're doing. Don't use it as, I'm going to read the slides. That's just death by PowerPoint. So use it as a visual cue or something to help you, but nobody wants to read your slides, you know.
You know, I've always found that the biggest problem in any kind of performance environment is the fight or flight syndrome that kicks in because we are designed to live, not be hunted and massacred by the howling savages. So we get away from there. But if you can't, you've got to stand up and face, and now everything is beating at this sort of rapid pace. You're way, way overstressed. And you have to relax because if you don't relax, you're dead. Because the voice is all tight in your throat and you can hear your heartbeat. And we've all been there. So what would your number one tip be, Ralph, to anyone thinking about making a thing but knowing that they're going to be nervous? How do you calm down?
So what I do is I actually do a couple of breathing exercises.
Yeah.
So I actually, while I was waiting in the room here, I was actually just taking a couple of deep breaths. You know, just sort of inhale over 4 counts and then sort of hold it for 7 and then exhale on 8.
Now that is probably the most valuable bit of advice any speaker gave to anyone ever. Yeah. It's a big secret.
Yeah. Right?
And breathing. Yeah. It's a natural calmative.
Absolutely. Yeah. The blood gets flowing to places you know, it needs to flow to, and you literally just do feel more relaxed. And it gives you energy to take on the speech.
It's a strange thing, but you know, sometimes people resort to, I'll just take some calming
remedy
medicine because that'll and it actually does calm you down, but it flattens you to the point where you're actually a zombie. A lot of people take beta blockers, and a lot of performers take beta blockers, which, you know, not prescribed for heart condition, because it won't let your heart rate go beyond
terrible.
A certain. Well, it's a lot of performers still use
really?
Them today. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think you sort of mentioned that, you know, being flat, it's such an important part to bring the energy. You know, you know, if you are positive and you bring the energy, your crowd feeds off that. Mm. And whoever you're talking to, even if it's in a presentation, if you're smiling and you're presenting with confidence, you know, you'll win the room in a click of a finger.
Okay. You know, apparently another big thing, and I don't know whether you find it to be true in your experience, but your eyes are the most important, apart from your voice, because we're not going to kill your voice. but apparently, eye contact is the key to engagement and holding an audience, and to not simply, you know, because some people say look in the middle distance and find a blank space and talk to that. Apparently, no. If you really want to make an impact, look for the eyes and
definitely.
Hold them for a moment.
And that pause, that don't...
And make contact,
pause.
Because that then it instantly makes connections.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that's quite scary because we don't sometimes want to see the whites of their eyes. But, you know, but that's another thing. And there's a whole bunch of... if you look at public speaking hints and tips about what to do with your hands, what do you do with your hands?
My hands, I'm always just sort of, I use my hands.
Yeah,
I don't really have any specific, you know, ones like, oh, Trump, I don't do those, you know. But, you know, I just always use my hands in whatever way I can. But I always try and bring a bit of, so sort of voices. I don't do great impersonations like you just heard there, but but I always just try and be authentic in whatever you know I bring to the room. So if it is a stupid Trump impersonation or anything like that, you know, it just breaks the ice, you know.
So humor is important. I think it's very human.
Just to break the ice, you have to, you know, and just shows authenticity. Obviously, it has to come from an authentic spot. So I'll always look for a pun wherever I am. Like I'll, you know.
What's the worst experience you've ever had? What's been the worst thing that's happened to you in your public speaking?
So I did probably not a public speaking on a massive scale, but I did training with some clients. And every time I try to make eye contact, they were all on their phones. And that's when you then, that negative energy, then you have to try and fight to still remain positive in that moment.
How do you do that?
Yeah, for me, I don't know. I just always try and think, like, you know, at the end of the day, there might be one person that does still take something out of the session. And when they, you just keep on bringing it. I don't know where it comes from, but I just sort of think that's the...
Have you ever stopped and just held the silence and looked?
No, I haven't actually done
that. Actually works extremely well. Suddenly...
I'll try that.
The heads come out of the phones.
I think engaging with the audience, because sometimes you just get these absolute blank stares, and then somebody will give you a hint or a nod or a something. Then you're like, it's like a Hail Mary. You're like, okay, all right, we can do this. Yeah. And I think you do. You learn to engage with the audience, and the more you relax into it, then I think you can start to get those glimmers of hope. Of you know, yeah.
But it's also a funny thing because I'm sure that you've had the experience. You've been over a subject many times, and you're really subject matter expert. You know what you're talking about. You've given the chat before. It's gone down a treat, and then you come and do it again.
Yeah. Yes.
And
it just falls flat.
It's like you die. It's what is that?
Jeepers. I don't know. Maybe it's. You know, sort of, because you've done it before, you may be not bringing the same energy as you did before because you sort of relax and you think, well, it went so well that time, so you're probably not focused, not 100% on the ball. I don't know.
Some people say it's not the audience, it's you, but I maintain it's the audience.
I think, you know, the event on Friday went really well, but the audience had really engaged in the subject matter and was excited to be there.
Yeah.
So you're already on a slightly winning foot that somebody wants to be there.
I think it helps if the audience isn't hostile.
Yes.
I think it must be very difficult to be a politician.
Yes.
And to come in front of the audience and go, and now you're going to inspire. And funnily enough, some of the finest inspirers are not the most popular people. Or the, you know, like you think of a Margaret Thatcher, for example, back in the day. But she was unbelievably good. Winston Churchill, another fabulous deliverer of the spoken word. And it's so important if you want to convince and persuade and win friends and influence people. You know, it's a very good idea to. And you're quite right. You started by saying everybody
has to
benefits
be
from
to,
being able to to
convey
pitch
your
a line.
Message.
You know, even if you want to ask someone out for the first time, if you do it nicely, you might get
and
a
smile.
Yes. Exactly. So it's in everyone's interest to use what you've got, and everyone can improve and be better. And of course, fear is a natural thing, but it can be a very good thing. In fact, I think it was Laurence Olivier, one of the finest performers of his time, that said that he's always nervous, and even after 50 years on the stage, he said that that's key to delivering a good performance. You must have that nervous energy and convert that into positive.
Because I think you're also respecting your audience. You are nervous because you are wanting to do your best. You're wanting to add value. So I think those nerves are, but I think you can do a lot of things to prevent the nerves taking over. So being prepared, doing. You know, like you said, a lot of the performers do a warm-up routine. You know, Andrea Botticelli doesn't just go on stage. He makes sure that he's well-prepared, his voice is warmed up. And I think there's so many things
some
that
of those
you
motivational
do.
Speakers go jump on trampolines. they do the most ridiculous.
Yeah.
It works for them. It's good. Maybe. I think also, those around you, those that love and care for you, tend to suffer the most slings and arrows from grumpy public speakers. And I'm sure you've all been there, because before you're going on, it's one of those. I suppose that's part of the gig. But it's difficult, I think, at the best of times to manage the responsibility, if you like, of taking on the role of the speaker and making sure that whatever it is that you deliver is a success. Certainly, I know a lot of folk from both the performance environment and the DJ environment, and then general and the political and business environment. When you've got a lead. There isn't a single leader, I think, effective leader in the world that hasn't mastered the ability to command the room at some stage.
Absolutely.
So it's an important part of any kind of aspect of life in the fast lane.
Absolutely.
Or even in the slow lane. If you want to make an impression, make a difference, be the best you can be, you owe it to yourself. Yeah. To become a better communicator, this kind of information is extremely valuable.
And even think about how you lead a team. If you are leading a team, how you communicate and get them inspired and get them to see your the vision that you might be presenting or anything like that.
Absolutely.
And it's something that you can get better at. So you can't just say, I don't do that well.
Yeah.
You really can. It's just there are certain things that will make you a better speaker, speak from authenticity, prepare, have a good start and a good finish. And I think those are things. And you can do the exercises to help you calm the nerves, but it's such a valuable skill. So go out and try it.
And you can make the world a better place.
Absolutely.
You know, because you make people feel better.
Yeah.
You give them hope.
Yeah.
You give yourself hope and courage and all of that. Because we're going through rough times, you always do.
Yeah.
But to be able to take the negatives and spin them into the positives and lead with a bright, happy, positive, then your perception becomes your reality. You change people's perception. You can make a huge difference in the world.
Absolutely.
So you saved the world today, Sarah.
Absolutely.
Congratulations. I love that.
That's what Monday Morning Bolt Heart is about.
Yeah, that's exactly. Now you see, we all feel a hell of a lot better.
And now you've got to listen to the news.
Yeah. That's true. If someone do you give coaching? Are you part of Toastmasters?
No, not. I attended one Toastmasters once back in my varsity days in Pietermaritzburg. Being a very diligent person, studying, you know, a student that. That really
your
was
university
me. I was
years
more at Crowded House every Thursday night, so I didn't really. My priorities weren't straight then. I wish I had done it.
Okay.
I read the other day that there is a Toastmasters in Belita now.
I believe so.
Yeah. So maybe something I'll have a look at. But
I'm sure Sarah will be there. She's everywhere. Like, Chicken Man everywhere.
But yeah, she is all over. But it's one of those things that I've never actually taken any training, and I don't actually do any training. But for me, it's almost like, you know, learning to swim. You got to get into the water to be able to actually do it. You know, you can't be watching. So even if you start small with a team meeting at work or anything like that, say, no, listen, I actually want to lead this meeting.
Yeah.
Start small, but you have to get into the water. You can't be observing.
And final question: do you enjoy speaking?
Yeah, weirdly enough, I do. I a lot of people, as you said, have this fear, but for me, it's almost like a happy place. Okay. I don't, like I said, the first 10 seconds might be a bit scary, and you know, but I try and break down the ice, and afterwards, I'm always say to my wife, I actually really enjoyed that, you know. So I do enjoy it, and yeah, it's a fun journey, and I do think just you have a small gap to basically make an impact on someone's life, you know. The event on Friday, if I had been all, you know, this is the someday shift, you know, just spoken very dully, I don't think it would have gone as well as it did. I had a small slot. You make a bit of a difference, and people had a good Friday, and that's what a privilege, what an honor.
Good point. And making a difference, Sarah does it every Monday with the Bold Heart segment on 88 FM on the morning show. What's happening next week?
Oh, we're speaking to two budding Bold Heart entrepreneurs. They've got a very interesting little story, and they're youngsters, and they're taking on the pizza world.
Wow. Well, we look forward to that. This will be up as a podcast shortly. Sarah Swainson from Bold Heart and Ralph Schroeder, the speaking attorney. Lovely to have you on the morning show, folks.
Thank you very much.
As I say, your morning show brought to you proudly by Bidvest McCarthy Toyota Bolito. Sarah will be on the show next Monday with the pizza guys.